Hola, and welcome back to Vos Memos. In this episode, I'm going to share some highlights from my girls' trip to Toronto, as well as break down the media frenzy on quiet vacationing. So get ready to plan out your PTO, because summer is finally here, and we need to make the most of it. Grab a snack and your three different drinks for hydration, fun, and caffeine, because you're listening to Vos Memos. Alrighty. Well, I just got back from a trip to Toronto with two of my friends from college, Mia and Claire. Hope you're listening. We spent three-ish days in Toronto, just split between some travel days, in the tiniest Airbnb. I swear it was made for hobbits. Claire could barely stand all the way straight. I don't know if she could, because the ceiling was so low. But it was fine for me. It was kind of like I finally had some insight onto what it's like to be a tall person, because I could see the top of the fridge, and like everything was like actually made for my height. So it was kind of nice for me, but not nice for anybody above the height of like 5'6". So I didn't mind it. It was just very tiny. So we spent one day kind of being just tourists on like Queen Street, and there was like a farmer's market in the area. And probably one of my highlights was going to the Broadview Hotel. They had a rooftop patio and we got drinks, and it literally felt like we were all the main characters. It was a panoramic view of the city. It was a beautiful day. It was sunny. There was good music. And so I finally get it. Like, my neighbor, Zach, he's been telling me, like, for a couple weeks now, he's like, I got to be on a rooftop every weekend this summer. And I'm like, I didn't get it, and now I get it. I'm with you, Zach, and I want that too now. So, I mean, it was just so nice to be up on the rooftop. So that was, like, our main, like, first day in Toronto. Obviously, the day we got there, we got dinner, and that was really nice. But we were kind of all exhausted on the first day, so... Second day, we did all of that. And then the third day was Niagara Day. It's only about an hour and a half outside of Toronto, and totally worth it if you haven't been. So we made the trip. I had been to Niagara Falls with my family as a kid, and we did the like staircase descent down where you can like touch some of the water from the waterfall on the U.S. side. But we were on the Canada side this time, and it was just the three of us, so we wanted to do the boats. It was so worth it. It was basically like nature's roller coaster. And the ponchos are just so fun too. So we were all like in our red ponchos because we were on the Canada side. And at first we're like, oh, it's just like a cooling mist. This is so refreshing. And the waterfalls are so peaceful and calm and beautiful from this distance. But then like the boat just like kept going in and in and in. And there was just a wall of white mist. And we were basically in a shower. Like, at times I was just like wiping the water out of my eyes because I'm like, I can't see anything. But it was amazing. I felt like completely cleansed from the water of the falls. And afterwards, I was on such an adrenaline high. I'm like, let's go again. And we all kind of felt like that. We're just like, if it wasn't $30 per trip, we would have just gotten right back on the boat, you know? But I thought it would be good to just mention some of the like native history about the falls, because I mean, I don't know about you, but like I had heard about like the Maid of the Mist, which is like one of the boats that goes, I think it's the American side boat that goes into the falls. But the story comes from the oral tradition of the Haudenosaunee, also known as the Six Nations, also known as Iroquois. And it's about a young Seneca woman who is saved by the god of thunder, Heno. So she's saved from taking her own life. And then that story was later romanticized into the story of the Maid of the Mist. And then the boat got the name. So I just feel like a lot of times we do have like homages or like names that belong to native tribes, but then the stories aren't really talked about. And it's so important to just make sure that people know why things are called that, especially when it's a story from a Native people. And then on top of that, I mean, those people, the Six Nations, we can kind of attribute like the women's suffragette movement to the traditions of that those tribes, because they were matrilineal and very democratic. Women had equal political power compared to men, and even like the clan mothers had the power to remove a chief if they had wronged the community, which, I mean, checks and balances, right? And I think, I mean, that is just such an interesting connection that I never really realized. Like, maybe I fell asleep during that part of eighth grade U.S. history, but like the Seneca Falls Convention was inspired by the Native tribes in that area and their traditions. But yeah, I'm just, anytime I learn more history of the Native Americans and the Native people in the United States, I'm just more and more inspired, and I want to like keep sharing it, because like it's not my tradition, but it's a tradition that needs to be shared. It's a knowledge that we don't want to lose. And the onus is not always on the minority to be sharing that story. Obviously, you don't want to speak for them, but to elevate them, lift them up. And I'm going to link some more resources where you can learn more about the Haudenosaunee people in the show notes. And so we did Niagara in the morning, and then it kind of wiped us out, honestly, like, because it was just such like an intense experience, and we had driven for so long to get there. So we just like camped out at a little cafe, got some food. All weekend we were playing this game, which I think is a great addition to any Swifties repertoire. The game is, we use a subsite on my website called the Taylor Swift Lyric Generator, which I will link that in the show notes as well. It basically is a UI where you can search for any word and it will show you all the lyrics in all the Taylor Swift songs that have that word. And so we use it in a game where any word you can think of. So we were around Niagara Falls, so we did like water, fall. She doesn't actually say waterfall. And then we plugged it into the generator and it spat out a bunch of lyrics. And then the rest of the group has to guess which song the lyrics are from. And it is, sometimes it's very obvious, sometimes it's not. And that makes it so fun if you're a Swiftie, because you know all the lyrics, but out of context, kind of a challenge. So we kind of played that game until we were deliriously singing Taylor Swift lyrics, which was just my dream, honestly. Like, anytime we were in the car, Taylor Swift was playing and we were all singing along. And it's like, this is girlhood. Like, this is what I want my girlhood to be, singing Taylor Swift in the car with my besties. So that was amazing. That, I mean, that would also be my favorite part of the trip. How many favorite parts can I have? But really, like, I am going to remember that for a long time, just singing with my girlfriends. And so it was kind of a whirlwind of a trip, because we really had those full days of activities. After Niagara and the singing, we drove back and we went to Sugar Beach, which was cute for a minute, but then like the sand was like whipping into our faces and we're like, okay, we got to relocate. We got pad thai takeout, and I feel like getting takeout on vacation is just like peak relaxation, because you're just cozy. You just like get food that is good, and then you get cozy with your friends and you put on a movie. We've watched Twilight. It was so fun. And so that kind of segues into my next point, which is like, what, how long is the ideal vacation? Because this trip, I would say it wasn't long enough for me. I got back to work and I was completely overwhelmed because I didn't sleep well, because I just got back from traveling and there was all this work piled up for me. And I mean, I was just doing so much during the trip, I didn't really relax. So I probably needed to take more days off, even if it wasn't on the trip, that's my mistake. I'm not going to do that again. And there is kind of like some different like rules of thumb that circulate every once in a while. Like I keep seeing the best vacation time is like 8 days because like that's your, when you hit your peak relaxation. But it's based on just like a small study. Like it's not concrete science. And I mean, in another way, like it does make sense. We, our minds think in terms of days and weeks. So to take a week off would really like make sense to our brains, which is like, oh, we replaced a week of work with a week of vacation. And maybe in that way you can unplug a little bit more. And also it like threw me off for the rest of the week because I got back on a Tuesday night. And so I was in work Wednesday and I'm like, this is my Monday, but it's Wednesday. And so all week I've been confused, like what day is it? And so I think just in terms of like getting back into the routine at work, it also helps to come back on a Monday because everyone has reset for the from the weekend. So hopefully it's like a little bit easier to like catch up because I was trying to catch up in the middle of the week when everyone's like already ramped up. So and the other girls kind of agreed too. They're like, well, we should have just done a normal weekend because we didn't get our Friday night out. We didn't, we retired on Saturday. Probably we'll take that into consideration for my next vacation. But with that being said, the average corporate girly only gets about 13 days of PTO, which between like different family commitments, weddings, weekend trips like this one, it can really eat into that PTO. And then it's like, oh, well, I don't even have enough to take an 8-day vacation, which, I mean, hopefully, I mean, you kind of have to take a bunch of days during the week to make that happen. So, and then it's like, you don't even have time to take an 8-day vacation. So something I've been seeing on like the media is this new term called quiet vacationing. And ever since quiet quitting, like they cannot stop. They're like quiet hiring, quiet firing, quiet, like everything's like down low, quiet. Quiet vacationing is supposed to mean when a hybrid or remote worker is taking time off that they have not actually said they're using their PTO. For example, like leaving, like doing a half day on Friday, but not telling anybody. And you just kind of like jiggle your mouse every once in a while you're out on the golf course or while you're out with your friends or shopping. So taking like a half day, maybe taking a full day if you like don't have any meetings and you're just jiggling your mouse, like pretending to be active. That's what the media claims quiet vacationing is. Another way to look at it is like just you are doing all your work, but you are in a different place than you usually are. Like maybe you took the weekend to travel to California and you're doing your work from an Airbnb all day and then you enjoy California at night. And then, yeah, so you have like a beautiful background because you're actually there, but you're doing your work. So that's another view of it. I think that's a more realistic view of it. But also the media is like spinning this up like it's such a bad thing when it is exactly what we're supposed to be doing according to the lie that is the salaried position, right? So it's supposed to be, oh, if you put in a bunch of extra time because it's a busy time last week, why don't you take a half day next week? You're supposed to be able to balance it out yourself. And I'm sure that's what people are doing. They're like, oh, I've been working late every single day this week. I'm going to take a half day on Friday to balance it out because that's what I'm supposed to do. And then the media comes back and says, oh, millennials are so lazy. They're quiet vacationing, pretending to be remote workers. And they're like villainizing people that are actually trying to achieve real work-life balance. So that's one view that I think is just wrong. Like people are just balancing out their work. They're getting their work done and then they're stopping because there's always going to be more work. But if you get your work done, then you should stop for the day. So there is that part of it. And then there's also the, like, I guess the traditional, like, corporate view where it's like, oh, well, the ideal would be everyone's in the office 5 days a week. So why are people traveling and going to these other places to do their work? And it's like, because that's the flexibility of a remote position, is that you can work from anywhere and you should be able to. Like, why wouldn't you work from a beautiful destination if you have that flexibility built in and you're still getting your work done? So that's another disconnect on this quiet vacationing that I don't really understand. And then on top of all of that, it's well known that today's modern worker is much more efficient than like 20 years ago, 30 years ago with advances in technology. And we just won't let go of the 40-hour work week. And so people are just like, okay, I'm going to log off. I finished my work in 2 hours. That's where the whole term lazy girl job came from, is like somebody that can get their work done in just a few hours and then has to act busy for the rest of the day because we're trapped in this 40-hour work system. And so I think quiet vacationing, hopefully, is just the start of a bigger culture shift that will lead to that shorter work week, that will lead to more life-centered life instead of work-life balance. Just life balance with work less centralized, right? I mean, I've already seen the trends. Like, Gen Z is poised to become, like, equal parts of the workplace as boomers. And as that balance tilts, where millennials become all of the managerial roles and Gen Z becomes a bigger and bigger portion of the workforce, I think quiet vacationing will be just normalized through shorter work weeks and shorter work days even. We'll see. So those are just some of my thoughts on quiet vacationing. Hopefully the future holds shorter work weeks. We'll see. And yeah, take your PTO. Whatever you have, at least take it. I'm not going to advise on the morals of quiet vacationing. I'm not going to advise either way on that part, because I still have a job that I need to keep. But yeah, just find ways to keep your mental health at the forefront and take those PTO days that you have, because that's part of your compensation. I think, yeah, one final thought on it is the article I read was saying millennials were taking quiet vacations because they were scared to ask for their PTO, and also Gen Z was just scared to take it. That is a big sign of a toxic workplace. If you can't actually take your PTO, that is a huge red flag. And then also, if you are afraid to take your PTO for your own, like, work, for your own workload, where, you know, if I leave for a week, I'm going to come back and have to do 2 weeks of work in 1 week, that's also a problem. So those are two signs that you need to find a different culture and a different work culture, because you have to be able to take your PTO. So it is an issue on both sides, where if the companies aren't going to let people take their PTO, they're going to figure out other ways to take a break. So I just hope that the quiet vacationing trend doesn't, like, ruin remote working, because companies are like, oh, we can't, like, supervise our employees if they're all remote. We're going to bring them all back to office. Like, no, just make sure that they feel comfortable taking their PTO. So that's my last point on that. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and give it a 5-star review. I think the only person that has reviewed my podcast is my mom. So thanks, mommy. I love you. But also, if other people can review, that would help as well. And then, as you know, it is also a video podcast on YouTube. And if you want to follow on Instagram, it's at Voice Memos. You can also follow on my website, angelageorge.com/voice-memos. So thanks for tuning into this episode, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.